This is Spirit by Beyonce for Disney's The Lion King.
No.
No.
Yes,
no.
It is.
No.
It is.
Beyonce's made a horrible mistake.
This sounds like when you get those production CDs and radio and they can't use the actual song from the movie, so they do a rip-off version.
Yeah, this sounds
like a rip-off of the Honda Cinema.
It's like you go to Redbox and you want to watch The Lion King and you accidentally press the button for, like, the Tiger Prince.
Right.
It looks exactly like the Lion King on the cover, and it opens with that.
Yeah.
Nope. And you realize you made a horrible mistake.
Nope, this is Spirit by Beyonce.
For Pirates 2, my dad accidentally got the porn version. And showed it to me and my brother.
That's not.
It's a true story.
Oh my God!
Family Video, Green Bay, Wisconsin, and it was spelled P-I-R-A-T-T-E-S 2. So I don't know what that means, but anyway,
that's fantastic.
How long did that take?
You know, at first it's like the production quality is kind of low on this, and then. Yeah, it became pretty apparent that that is porn.
Wow.
Did you guys finish?
No. In what way?
The movie.
Oh, God.
The movie.
I quit.
Max.
I'm sorry.
Are we talking about the Cats trailer again?
I was so confused by that trailer. There was so much fur.
Well, with that, this is TCNT Movie Talk. We talk about movies in theaters this week.
Yeah, we do.
DVD and Blu-ray releases.
I'm so sorry.
This week, things that are new out, streaming movies out 20 years
sometimes
ago.
Adult films.
Movies out this week 10 years ago. Sometimes adult films.
Yeah, accidental porn.
New trailers that are released. That guy over there that accidentally watching porn with his dad and his brother is Max Reimer.
Actually, my dad wasn't in the room at the time.
Oh. Okay, so just with your brother. It's fine.
This is just weird.
And then to his left is Drew Lee.
Hi.
Across the table is John Justice.
Hello.
We also have Representative Nick Zerwas.
What's happening?
And I am Sam Sanspear. And this song is really weird. So let's go on to movies in theaters this
garbage.
Week. As kind of going with the theme, we've got The Lion King coming out this week and Into the Ashes.
Yeah, I'm going to see The Lion King. I know the reviews haven't been great. And it's weird, too. I mean, it's just, you know, it's funny because somebody had, I was one of the guys that works in sales, John, he'd made the comment going into Aladdin. You know, it's like, well, you can't, you know, it's Aladdin. I mean, you know the story, you know, they have all the beats. You can't really mess that up. And with Aladdin, they didn't mess it up. And it doesn't sound like they messed up Lion King, but it just sounds like people are walking away from it and it doesn't have the oomph. You know, sort of the emotional impact that the original one, you know, had. And I can't help it if it has to do with, it just has to do, not the Uncanny Valley necessarily, but Brian Miller had a great, Drew, you turned me on to that. Brian Miller had a great review in City Pages, and he kind of mentioned there's something lacking that didn't transfer over from the cartoon version into this sort of animated for live version.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard because these animals are very realistic. They did, I mean, just, I want to see it just for the production value and just to see how they did everything and just the beauty of it, but it's hard to show like a emotion that humans can detect on such realistic animals. It's hard for those realistic animals to emote the way that an animated animal does in a way that our brains really pick up on it.
Here's the thing, and I agree with all of that, and I really have very little interest in going to see The Lion King in theaters. You know, I've seen it a million times. It was one of my kids' favorite movies, and you know how kids' favorite movies are when they're little. You watch them over and over and over and over. And from what I'm hearing, this is essentially like an almost a shot-for-shot remake of it, just with the, you know, the CGI instead of the animation. These movies aren't for us, though. You know, they're not for the Brian Millers. They're not for us. They're not for people that have seen the animated version a million times. These movies are for kids between the ages of 5 and 10. And this is going to be the Lion King that they remember. And Aladdin's going to be the Aladdin that they remember and that they're going to show to their kids and that they're going to watch a bunch of times. This is just a way of recycling material for Disney to get a whole new audience to fall in love with these films for the first time.
That I don't disagree with, but I disagree that they're not, that they're made for those, for that generation. My take is they're made for the generations that grew up with the cartoon, but now we'll flock back to the theater to see a more realistic version of what they did before, which has happened for me every single time they've released one of these former animated, now live action features.
I think that's the gravy, though. And I think you know, the kids that are going to rewatch these movies a million times when they come out on Blu-ray and DVD, you know, the 5 to 10 year olds that are 5 to 10 right now, that's the meat. You're the gravy. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I think I'm with John on this. I think it is for the people that grew up with The Lion King, that then made The Lion King on Broadway a smashing success.
Which, if you haven't gone to see that, man, that show is amazing.
It's truly amazing. And then now, like, I will be bringing Jackson to the theater to watch this. And I'm just pumped. I'm so psyched for it.
So it sounds like a shot-for-shot remake, but some of the more critical reviews that I've seen and I've heard about, it's like a shot-for-shot remake, except much of the heart is out of it. Much of the soul is almost pulled out of this movie. You don't get the same sense of warmth and good feeling that you do from the cartoon. These are things that I've heard. Obviously, I haven't seen it, but... You know, that wouldn't shock me. It seems like a lot of kind of new age, especially new age Disney type stuff, with some of these remakes, the soul and the heart is almost pulled out of it because they're trying to be too mechanical or too fancy with it, especially when it comes to CGI.
Well, I think this is, and Sam, I think you touched on a really good point. I think this is probably very specific to the Lion King cartoon and less so about a movie like Aladdin. With a movie like Aladdin, you can transfer that over into real human characters who are going to have a relationship. And they certainly did on screen when it came to, you know, with Jasmine and what's the other guy's name? Or Aladdin, I guess. Between Jasmine and you know, and the male character. But with this, you've now got incredibly realistic looking animals in situations where in a cartoon form, you can kind of look past the horrible awfulness that's actually really taking place with these animals because it's cartoon and we accept that and we know nobody's really getting hurt. Here you have real looking animals that you can't really relate to in that way, that also there's like a real danger there. And
when Simba's dad dies, I know I'm just gonna lose it.
Especially if it's like super realistic too. For me, I mean, I'm excited to see this. I am going to see it in the theater, hopefully this weekend. And for me, I'm interested in seeing how they're able to take such realistic animals and show that emotion and make these characters really interact with each other. And I mean, for my personal experience, you could argue that I probably interact with animals more than I do with humans on a daily basis, just by nature of living on a farm. I train horses. Yeah. I interact with horses and dogs and all of our animals and everything. And for me, when I'm around those animals, I feel like I can see their emotions, and their emotions are really clear to me. They show nervousness and they show anger and they show happiness and they show all these different things that to me is really easy to see, especially with the horses. But like John, I think, or Drew, or any of you guys, I think that if you went out into a pasture of horses, I can kind of tell how they're interacting, how they're getting along and everything. And since you guys aren't around them all the time, you're not necessarily going to pick up on that. So I'm going to be interested to see if I can kind of, since I'm used to all of that, maybe if I'll see this, if they actually like have these animals emoting the way that animals do, if I might kind of pick up on that a little bit better, or someone that's around animals more might pick up on that a little bit better, if that makes sense.
I think dog owners could probably relate. I know,
yes,
I can.
Absolutely. You can tell when Bella's sad and when she knows she's in trouble,
and
right?
I was right. She was acting all weird and depressed yesterday, and sure enough, Melinda texted me and the darn dog peed on my bed again. and I'm like, you know, obviously she's distraught for some reason. So
she's ticked at you, apparently. There.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what. I was totally nice. And, you know.
This one's not a musical, right?
No. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's songs.
It's all the songs.
Okay. Oh, yeah, it's got all the songs.
It's the same movie.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the exact same movie. But my point is that, you know, in 15, 20 years from now, like you and I are not going to remember this movie. We're not going to be thinking about it. But the kids, this is going to be the Lion King that they remember.
Oh, I totally agree with that aspect of it.
This is going to be, this is going to be their Lion King. So when we talk about Little Mermaid and Aladdin and Lion King and the animated films that we all love so much and that we mean so much and we've all shown to our kids and we all watched a million times, this is going to be the movie they're talking about. At least I think that's Disney's intent. Whether or not it works remains to be seen.
I think that in the future, like down the line, for me, like a really, really old movie, when I think of a really old movie, I'm thinking like a black and white film or something. You look at like this generation.
Of Forrest Gump. You know, one of the old classics, you know, like on TCM, you know.
But you ask like Max, when your son's all grown up, when your kids are all grown up, they think of an old movie, they're going to be like, man, do you remember when The Lion King looked like just blocks of color? That's going to be a really old movie for them versus this hyper-realistic version, I guess.
We'll see. I think that's what Disney's going for.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. DVD and Blu-ray releases this week, Alita Battle Angel.
I really liked Alita Battle Angel. It suffers from the same thing that so many of these types of films suffer from. It's almost impossible to launch a new IP, you know, a new series, especially within sci-fi that isn't established already. I liked this movie. It's out there. It sets up for a series of films. I don't know if it did well enough for other movies to be made, but I liked how different it was, kind of cyberpunkish. I'm really looking forward to watching it again. The CGI was really good in it. But again, it's just, you know, these movies don't do well. It falls into that category of your Valerian and your Jupiter Ascending. Just getting a new science fiction movie, you know, out there running just is really, really difficult to do.
Yeah, you convinced me. You just listed a bunch of movies that I had zero interest in seeing, and now I know where to put this.
Is this the one that is like real people, whatever, but they like tried to kind of CGI it to make it look anime? Like they made their eyes bigger.
Yeah, so the main character Alita is modeled more off of because it was based off of anime. So this was one that James Cameron had in his list of movies that he wanted to do for the longest time. So he ended up passing it off to Robert Rodriguez to do, and he produced it. Like I said, I really enjoyed it. It was really exciting. The visuals were fantastic. It ended in such a way where I went, oh, I want to see the next one. But I'm just kind of worried that they're not going to make a next one because this one didn't do very well in the theater.
Nothing too big out on streaming this week, but movies out 20 years ago, Eyes Wide Shut, Lake Placid, and The Wood.
I remember the hype around Eyes Wide Shut was huge.
Everybody thought that was going to be.
It sucked.
It was terrible.
As a kid hearing about it.
Yeah.
Just in the news.
It was
stuff
supposed
like
to
that.
Be provocative and
it was
and sexy.
It was not that.
No.
It was awful.
Yeah.
No.
It was awful.
I couldn't tell you what the hell it was about.
Actually,
isn't it about like the Illuminati or something like that?
Sure, maybe.
Okay,
could have been. Or the moon landing? I don't know.
Can we focus on Tom Cruise?
Thanks for that affirmation. Sounds like you're an expert on the subject. Hey, Nick, let's pause and go to Drew for some analysis.
The funny thing about this weekend of movies releases was Eyes Wide Shut was the one that was promoted that everybody was hyped over. Lake Placid was the throwaway, and Lake Placid ended up clobbering at the box office. And Lake Placid is a fun movie. That's a
giant alligator?
Yeah. Bill Pullman.
It's fun.
Oh, it's a fun movie.
That's a good one.
There's a whole little side story in that with Betty White.
Yep.
There's a whole side story with Betty White and the alligator, and that is a fun little B-movie genre monster flick that I still watch. Lake Placid's a fun alligator movie.
Wasn't the big ticket in Eyes Wide Shut, Nicole Kidman had a nude scene?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think
that was Tom Cruise.
That was like half the selling point.
Well, they were still a couple then.
Yeah. It was super weird. And
it was Kubrick's last film, right?
If we're going to talk about Tom Cruise, let's focus on the Top Gun.
We'll get to that.
That was released. I don't want
to. We'll get to that.
I just don't want to think of Tom Cruise in a negative light. And this movie makes me do that.
How about The Wood? Have any of you guys seen The Wood?
I know what that is.
Three old
I think
friends.
Max's dad brought that home one time. It ended up being...
just what it sounds like, yeah.
What in the... Oh, good Lord.
Three old friends recount memories of their shared childhood in Inglewood, California, as they prepare for Roland's wedding to his fiancée. When the groom goes missing without a word, Mike and Slim struggle to find their nervous friend and
none
return to his impatient bride before the wedding begins. Kind of sounds like... I know it came out before that, obviously, but kind of sounds like a Hangover knockoff.
Literally, this movie was never released. Never heard of it.
Came out 1999.
Yeah. And had would have been when I was in high school.
Tay Diggs, Sean Nelson, Omar Epps, Melinda Williams. I don't know.
This would have been the summer after I graduated. All I did was go to movies. I don't believe this. This didn't come to the Elk River Theater.
Movies out this week, 10 years ago, 500 Days of Summer, and Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
I love 500 Days of Summer. That movie was tailor-made for a person like me.
Yeah, it is
one of the most John Justice movies that I can think of.
Get much more, unless you put that like in a Star Wars universe.
Well, what it needs is like it's 500 Days of Summer with Transformers.
Yeah. Not necessarily.
Basically like 500 Days of Summer, but with less production value.
I do like just movies of this genre. But
I'm saying if you combine like, you know,
if they did this in space,
have to watch another movie again.
Yeah, you know, Passengers was really close to being this in space. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Zoe Deschanel. Yeah. It's just a really Mark Webb directed it. He did the other Spider-Man movies, but just the music's fantastic in it, and it's just great stuff.
Not really my genre of movies, but it's very cute. It's very funny. It's very well done.
Ends
on a happy note. It's a fun little story. I'm a huge fan of Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I mean, I really like him.
Yeah.
I like almost everything I've seen him in. Even if I haven't liked the movie, I've at least liked him.
Yeah, I was just saying. I can't say I like every movie he's been in.
Sure.
But I do like his character.
He's good. He's really good. And Zooey Deschanel is just, she's just great to watch. You know, and I don't mean that in just like an attractive way. She's obviously very attractive. But she's someone who has a lot of charisma that just oozes off of the screen and makes everything she's in very watchable.
Yeah. She's very good in Elf.
She's great in Elf. And this show, if you haven't watched her sitcom, it's really fun.
New trailer's out just this week, just as of like mostly yesterday. You've got It Chapter 2, Top Gun Maverick, Cats, and I don't know what the other one is, A.D. Astra.
Yeah, Ad Astra. It looks good. It's a science fiction epic with Brad Pitt. It looks very much along the same lines of like First Man, if you saw that. I think they're going, it looks like very Oscar baity, but because I like science fiction, it looks good. It Chapter 2 looks just as good as the first one. The trailer looks scarier than the first one was. The actors that they chose to play the grown-up version of the kids, I think, were pretty spot on. The Cats trailer is nightmare fuel. That's just
you're being dramatic.
I have never I couldn't tell you the last time I watched a trailer and it ended and I just sat there confused over what I just saw. I didn't know how I was supposed to feel.
What do you expect, though?
I don't know.
I think that everybody expected it to look like this, but also was not ready for it to look like this.
It was just weird. They're stuck because, again, you can't make them cats, real cats.
Right.
Because then you turn into, like, it's like a Lion King situation because you can't have, like, real cats singing and dancing. So now there's this hybrid of the Broadway performance of them in their cat clothes, now CGI to the point where they're kind of acting like cats. And
They're basically cats, but not cats.
They're scaled down to cat size, but they're human cats, and they've got the floaty faces.
I hate
and it
this.
just looked frightening.
Even the way you're talking about it, I just...
Have you seen the trailer yet, Max?
Yeah, I have. You know, it reminds me of the meme, like, nobody, and then Hollywood. We're going to release a Cats movie. Like, no one asked for this. Right?
Right.
Nick, were you asking for a Cats movie?
Nah, pass.
I think the
pass.
One of the most like disturbing things for me is like when the Cats are doing really elaborate like ballet. That's weird.
and you just know that there's going to be some overtly political message in this one.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You just know that there is. If it's like, I'm not even going to prognosticate on what it could be, but you just know that it's going to be some obnoxious political message.
Someone's trying to deport the cat.
Or like a cat meets a dog, and it's like, Trump won't stop us from being together.
$5 says, halfway through the movie, one of the cats identifies as a dog.
Yeah, and they're all like, yes, you're a dog. Let's think about it.
This movie's going to make a lot of money. Don't even fool yourself. The movie's going to make
really?
It. Yes, absolutely. Oh, Cats is one of the most popular musicals
in all of
history.
It's the worst. I'm a musical guy. It's terrible.
I don't care if you like it or not. It's incredibly popular.
To be
fair. Andrew Lloyd Webber, his shows make money.
They do.
And when they turn his shows into movies, those movies make money.
Yeah, they could come out with a new Phantom of the Opera every year.
Sure. Phantom made a lot of money. I know Les Mis is not Andrew Lloyd Webber, but Les Mis made a lot of money. Into the Woods did really well. I mean, there's
Did they?
Yes.
I think it did.
Didn't they? I don't know.
But Into the Woods was a really bad movie.
I enjoyed it.
You did?
Yeah.
I thought it was bad.
It was fun enough. It's not something I'd go back and rewatch,
but it was legit
the music's
bad.
Fun.
So yes.
And that girl that played Little Red Riding Hood was fantastic. She was amazing.
Yeah.
And I thought the James Corden was good. And this is gonna do just as well as all of those. It's gonna do fine. It's gonna make a good amount of money.
It was okay.
It's got a lot of fans.
Yeah.
Well, I'll see it.
It's gonna get my money.
Look, my dad is huge into theater, loves musical theater, specifically loves Andrew Lloyd Webber productions.
Yeah.
Those are like some of his favorites. He's listened to the soundtrack a million times. I showed him the trailer yesterday and he was like, I'm in. I'm going. Absolutely. Yep. Can't wait.
Gosh.
So, you know, it's not for everybody.
I'm totally out.
Yeah, it's going to make just pinkies up money.
Yeah.
Listen, Taylor Swift said
it'll get a bunch
of that's a lot of money, by the way.
I'm going to see Cats on the big screen. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Pinkies up.
Leave people alone just because they like something you don't. You're the last person that should be criticizing somebody just for liking
something. Is somebody talking right now? I can't hear. I hear like a cat meow, but that's about it. Yeah.
Hold on. This movie has Taylor Swift in it. John Justice will pay money.
I will not be going to see this movie.
Yes, you will.
No, I think, and I'm gonna push back on what Drew is saying. They're releasing it on the same day as Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, that
tells me they don't have a lot of confidence in it.
Oh no. Yeah. I disagree. They're releasing it at that time because people are going to go to a ton of movies during that week. They're going to go see people are going to go see Star Wars and they're going to go see Cats.
But then why do they never put up big movies when Star Wars movies open on the same weekend?
This is not going after the same demographic.
Oh sure. They're trying to do what they do with those other side movies. And when you go back and look at Force Awakens or The Last Jedi and the movies that opened that same weekend, I'm with you. They're trying to go after those individuals that don't – they're counter-programming to Star Wars. But you'll never see, and you haven't seen, Rogue One, Force Awakens, or The Last Jedi. The movies that opened up that same weekend were not big, huge blockbuster films. The movies that opened up the following weekend, sure – they'll do that, but not on the opening week.
I just didn't imagine Drew to be a defender of musicals.
It's not even I'm defending
Listen,
it. I think all the absolute, you know, immediate dismissals are incredibly premature. It's one of the most popular musicals of all time.
You know more about musicals than I thought you did. I just imagining you with a wig on, singing in front of a mirror, your favorite show tunes.
Yeah, I was in Man of La Mancha.
Ooh.
Nice.
Is there a VHS copy of that?
Actually, I think there might be.
Drew's a theater guy.
No, I think that this is way more calculated than John can understand.
No, it'll make money. Don't misunderstand.
John knows nothing about movies.
This is
4D chess here, people.
It'll probably double its budget, and that's what Les Mis did, and that was the other one. Oh, Into the Woods did. They had about 50 or $60 million budgets, and they made about $120 million. So that's about what it'll. It's not going to be a gangbuster, but it'll make its money.
That's my point.
Following the abysmal failure.
It has an audience.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's not going to be. You know, It's not going to make gangbusters. It'll make its money back and a little bit more. That's all I was saying.
following the dismal failure of the release of The Last Star Wars, they see that it's weak.
Right.
They see an opportunity.
There's blood in the water here, people.
Deploy the cap.
The box office numbers for The Last Jedi, or should we refrain from that so I can not make you look totally dumb with that comment?
We know that it was a down.
Hey, you guys want to do a prop bet with me?
I want to do promos and go home.
Okay.
We're still recording,
right? I'll do a prop bet with you, Max.
I'm just wondering, if before the end of the run of Cats, over-under on Trump tweeting about the movie Cats.
Oh, I'll take whatever means he probably won't, I'll take that side.
Right. I know, he definitely will.
I'm willing to bet my cat on it.
If it's an overtly political message. Which it will be.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, stop it.
It will be. I'm with Max. This has been TCNT Movie Talk right here on Twin Cities News Talk. AM 1130, 103.5 FM. We do this every week, so tune in again next week. This is your celebration.